How willing are you to be identified as disciples of Jesus? Would you be willing to make sacrifices in order to follow him closely? Please give your undivided attention to Brother Ignatius Anani Ensa as he develops the intriguing theme, follow Jesus, but not at a distance.
He was a bold man with strong convictions. He was intensely loyal to his master. In fact, wherever Jesus Christ was, you can expect to see the Apostle Peter close by. Peter was so confident in his own loyalty to Jesus that on the night of Jesus' arrest, Peter boldly told him, "Even if I have to die with you, I will by no means betray you." Well, what happened a few hours later? Please open your Bibles to the account in Luke chapter 22, an account which contains a brief yet telling moment of how Peter was affected by Jesus' arrest. In Luke chapter 22, we'll pick up the account in verse 54. Luke 22, verse 54, it reads, "Then they arrested him," that is Jesus, "and led him off, and they brought him into the house of the high priest. But Peter was following at a distance." Now, we do have to give Peter some credit here. Peter was no coward. In fact, he was so convinced that he would always be loyal to Jesus. And it took a measure of courage for him to follow the crowd that had just taken Jesus into custody. But at that critical moment, the fear of man had weakened his resolve. And so did you notice how Peter followed Jesus? The verse says, he followed him at a distance. In fact, the parallel account in Matthew chapter 26, verse 58 says that Peter kept following Jesus from a good distance. He did not want to be identified as someone who was with Jesus. And so he followed just far enough away so that people would not even notice him. Now, it's quite interesting to note that it was this same man, Peter, who more than 30 years later wrote about the need for all true Christians to follow Jesus' steps closely. And Peter might have realized that following Jesus' steps closely may not always be easy. In fact, he knew that what happened to him that night could happen to any of us. And so, each of us does well to ask himself, how am I following Jesus? Do I follow him closely, or do I follow him from a good distance? Well, as you ponder over these questions carefully, let's take the opportunity to talk about how different ones in a congregation can examine how they are following Jesus so that all of us can make sure that we are following Jesus closely but not from a distance. First, we'd like to talk to our young people. Young ones, how closely are you following Jesus? Now, we have to recognize something right away. It's not easy to be a young person living in this time. In fact, it is incredibly difficult to be a teenager living in this time of history, especially if you're trying to serve Jehovah. We recognize that as teenagers, you struggle with physical, emotional, and spiritual growing pains. For example, as a young person, your own body is constantly changing. Things in life are rapidly changing for you. And if you're in school, you have to cope with negative peer pressure from your schoolmates. From your teachers, they may question your beliefs. And even more challenging, you are subjected to a degraded moral environment that, quite frankly, makes it all the more a challenge for you to stand out as different, or to stand up for your beliefs. You know, young ones, our hearts go out to all of you having to deal with this system of things. Now, why do we say that it's a challenge for you to deal with this system of things? Well, the pressures that young ones face in school or in the communities has caused some of our youths to follow Jesus in such a way that no one really notices them doing so. In other words, some young ones in school try to hide their identity. They are tempted to identify themselves as followers of Jesus or as one of Jehovah's Witnesses. Now you may ask, why might a person wish not to identify himself as one of Jehovah's Witnesses? Well, the Bible answers that in the book of Proverbs, chapter 29 and verse 25. Notice why a person might wish not to identify himself as one of Jehovah's Witnesses. In Proverbs 29, let's read verse 25. There it says, "Trembling at men is a snare, but the one trusting in Jehovah will be protected." Did you notice that the expression "trembling at men," which also means the fear of man, is likened to a snare, which of course is a device used to catch an animal? Now, when an animal is caught in a snare, it is immediately trapped and it can accomplish what it wants to. It really wants to do something, but it can't. It knows that it shouldn't be there. It wants to get out. It knows the right thing to do and wants to do it, but it's paralyzed. It's caught. It can't move. And young ones, isn't it the same way it feels like when you face pressures from your schoolmates, from your teachers, from others who put pressure on you to conform to the way that they think? You may know what you want to say, you may know what you want to do, and you sincerely want to do it, but you are trapped. So there's something gripping you. You are caught with fear, the way that Peter felt that night. And we recognize that the fear of man can really have a powerful hold on us. In fact, one way it manifests itself is it can cause you to want to try to gain favor and acceptance in the world. You may say to yourself, "I don't want to feel different in school. I just want to fit in. I just want to have friends and be like my schoolmates. I don't want to look different at all." You may feel that way. Or sometimes you may say to yourself, "I just want to do the things that my friends do." Or you may say, "If one of my peers approach me and ask me a question about my beliefs, oh man, I'm just not going to answer that question. I am just going to keep my mouth shut. I am even going to change the topic." You know what? In the first place, I'm not even going to identify myself as one of Jehovah's Witnesses, because I wonder if I do that, I wonder how my friends are going to feel. Now, our dear young ones, if this is your predicament, you may be in grave spiritual danger. And it's not only our young ones who face such predicament, but as adults, we may also face that as well in our workplaces. And so each of us, whether we are in school or at work, must ask himself, "Do I secretly desire to gain favor with the world, or to be friends with those who do not yet love Jehovah? Am I afraid of how people will react when they learn that I am one of Jehovah's Witnesses?" Now, as you ponder over these questions, remember the man called Joseph of Arimathea. Do you remember who he was? Well, the Bible briefly talks about him in the book of John, chapter 19, verse 38, where he is described as a disciple of Jesus, but a secret one. Why? Because of his fear of the Jews. In fact, he allowed the fear of man, in his case, the fear of the Jews, to influence him to the extent that he was ashamed of being a disciple of Christ. And that was a serious flaw on his part. Now, what is the antidote to the fear of man? Very simply, stand up to it, so to speak. In other words, the first and one of the best things you can do at school is to identify yourself as one of Jehovah's Witnesses as soon as possible. In fact, it is a real protection when you do this. In addition to that, notice what help Proverbs chapter 13 verse 20 mentions that you can tap into to be able to stand firm against the fear of man. In Proverbs chapter 13, and please read with me in verse 20. The Bible says, "The one walking with the wise will become wise, but the one who has dealings with the stupid will fare badly." So the beginning part of this verse is describing the good influence that you will have if you associate with people who are wise. The contrast in the latter part of the verse, the bad consequences as a result of associating with people who are morally stupid. And so this means that to succeed in following Jesus' steps closely, well, you must choose your friends carefully. Associate with only those who are living by Christian standards. Now, you may be thinking, you know what, I'm thinking about my school. Who is in my school that I can choose as a real friend who lives by Christian conduct? And your answer? Maybe none. And admittedly, having no associates doesn't sound like very much fun. But young ones, remember that even if you can't find a friend nearby, having no associates is better than having bad ones who can spoil your useful habits. Well, at this time, we are going to watch a short video of how some of our young people felt when they faced the fear of man, the challenge that was posed to them, and how they overcame it. Please watch.
I didn't identify myself as one of Jehovah's Witnesses because I was scared of what kids at school would say about me.
Peer pressure probably is probably the worst one. Because, you know, you don't get just peer pressure from friends, but you also get it from, you know, your teachers.
Some of my friends who joined this new Christian group started spreading false rumors about Jehovah's Witnesses. Many of them said we were led by some unknown leader at the top. At first, I wanted to stand up and say, well, that's not true. However, I started becoming fearful.
I was hanging out with the wrong crowd, and girls invited me to go play in the park after school. Something kind of told me that I shouldn't have gone with them, but I still went. And out of nowhere, I see two young men come, and they try to steal our backpacks. They started arguing with the boys in our group, and they started fighting too. The police came, and when I saw the police, I thought I was going to get into a lot of trouble, so I just ran away.
One time, the teacher at school was mocking all religions, saying, you know, the Bible is outdated, you know, how can you know God exists, you know, people have rewritten it so many times, how can you know it's the truth? And I remember thinking to myself, oh, I should say something, you know, I did this the night before, I should say something. And then my friend goes next to me, goes, Bianca's a Jehovah's Witness. Teacher looks to me, you know, wide open, goes, do you have anything to say? And I just stood there, you know, didn't know what to say. And then the bell rang and I was just like relieved.
I felt how I imagined Peter would have felt.
My conscience kept bothering me, and I knew that Jehovah didn't approve of my association.
The fact that I had to open my mouth and kind of prove myself, you know, just it cramped up inside, and I felt very disappointed in myself.
I made a prayer to Jehovah, and I asked him to give me courage to stand up and say that I was one of Jehovah's Witnesses. I remember a brother gave a talk once, and he cited from the words of Mark 8:38, where it says that we shouldn't be ashamed of following Jesus because he would be ashamed of us. Those words really touched my heart, and I knew that I had to make changes soon.
After I had considered the example of Jesus, I prayed to Jehovah, one, for courage, and also for another opportunity to defend his name.
And talking to Mum was probably the biggest one. Her experience and her knowledge kind of helped me to give me the courage to keep going.
Identifying myself as one of Jehovah's Witnesses has served as a protection.
In biology class, we were talking about the topic of blood, and my teacher brought up the comment of those JW people, they would let their kids die. So I had a really quick prayer to Jehovah because I knew that was not the truth. So I stood up and I said, we call Jehovah's Witnesses and we don't allow our kids to die. I was so happy after that moment.
I was able to give a witness when my schoolmates started asking me about what we really believe and practice. And I was able to give them a much more accurate understanding of how our organization functions.
Now that I'm able to stand firm in my beliefs, I feel much better.
You're doing it for Jehovah, and you're doing it for yourself. You're not doing it to make them happy, you're doing it to make Jehovah happy. When I feel scared or afraid, I say, quick prayer to Jehovah, and he gives me the courage to defend my faith and keep going on.
I have gained the respect and admiration of my schoolmates.
I'm not ashamed anymore at identifying myself as one of Jehovah's Witnesses.
And now I'm proud to represent Jehovah.
So, those were the expressions of our dear young ones. They faced the pressure of fear of man. They were momentarily affected, but they overcame it and stood out as different. What about you? Are you known at work, at school, or in your community as one of Jehovah's Witnesses? Can you resist the temptation to do what those around you want you to do rather than what Jehovah says you should do? Do you desire Jehovah's approval more than man's? And are you determined to follow Jesus' steps closely? In fact, we really value the example that you young ones set in serving Jehovah. But young ones, let's remember something. The Bible says that their heart is treacherous. And so don't let your heart deceive you into betraying Jehovah and Jesus. Rather, be proud to be one of Jehovah's Witnesses. Be proud to be a follower of Jesus. And in fact, be known for following Jesus' steps closely. You see, Jesus did not want his disciples to keep secret their identity. And so he used a word picture to illustrate the kind of attitude that we should have. He said at Matthew chapter 5, verse 14 through 16, to all his true followers, including you young ones, that you are the light of the world. And then he added, let your light shine before men. And so, as the light of the world, you must not hide the fact that your good conduct is due to being a follower of Jesus. In fact, if we don't identify ourselves as servants of Jehovah, people are simply going to conclude that we are nice people and it becomes about us. But if we identify ourselves as servants of Jehovah, then people are going to see our fine conduct, and as Jesus said, they would give glory to our Heavenly Father, Jehovah. Well, Jehovah knows that just as Peter allowed himself to briefly follow Jesus from a distance, so too we could momentarily be seized by fear. But if we fail to strengthen our trust in Jehovah, if we allow the fear of man to rule our lives, well, we could soon be disowning Jesus. In fact, notice Jesus' sobering warning in Matthew chapter 10, verse 32 to 33, and I'll quote that scripture. He says, everyone who acknowledges me before men, I would also acknowledge him before my Father who is in the heavens. But whoever disowned me before men, I will disown him before my Father who is in the heavens. The import of this scripture is that if we fail to acknowledge Jehovah, we risk being disowned by Jehovah and Jesus. But we trust that all of us, especially our dear young ones, will continue to stay on the course of following Jesus' steps closely. Now, another group that can examine how they are following Jesus are men in the congregation. And so to all baptized brothers, we ask, are you following Jesus at a distance, or are you following him closely? You may wonder, could a brother in a congregation be at the meetings, be out in full service, and still be following Jesus at a distance? Sadly, the answer is yes. Now, when we make mention of distance, we are not referring to only physical distance, but that could also imply spiritual or emotional distance. A baptized brother who does not show a zealous spirit in his congregation and who fails to reach out is following Jesus at a distance. Now, we have to acknowledge that some brothers carry heavy loads of family responsibilities. And this is especially the case when you are supporting or caring for a family member who is dealing with some grave mental or physical illness. Or maybe you are caring for aging parents that are dealing with the horrible effects of the aging process. Now, clearly, your various responsibilities impact on what you are able to do in Jehovah's service. Nevertheless, we can remain spiritually engaged to the extent that our circumstances allow. And so the encouragement to all baptized brothers is, to the best of your abilities, please reach out in a congregation. Now, is it going to require a little bit of work? Yes. Will you get tired sometimes? Yes. Will you feel inadequate sometimes? Of course. Will you wonder how it's all going to get done? Absolutely. But do your best to reach out, to help out. You will find tremendous joy and satisfaction in helping your brothers. And think about it. Jehovah and Jesus are workers, and they continue to work, and they are inviting all baptized brothers to be their fellow workers. We couldn't ask for any better workmates than Jehovah God and Jesus. And so in view of this, the faithful and discreet slave, the governing body, entreats all baptized men to pursue kingdom interest with zeal. There is a lot of work that needs to be done in our local congregations. And so may all of us work hard in imitation of Jehovah God and Jesus Christ. Now, in view of all that has been discussed so far, what can we conclude? Well, it is essential that we take sides with Jehovah's people and be determined to follow Jesus' steps closely. On the night of Jesus' arrest, that was the darkest night of Peter's life. When Peter disowned Jesus emphatically for the third time, the Lord Jesus turned and looked at Peter. Peter was affected. He was devastated. He went outside and wept bitterly. What words do you think went through Peter's mind later that evening? Jesus' words regarding his overconfidence? Very likely. But perhaps Jesus' words recorded in Matthew chapter 12 and verse 30. And think about how Peter would be affected, or would have been affected, as he recalled these words in Matthew chapter 12, verse 30. Hear Jesus' words: "Whoever is not on my side is against me, and whoever does not gather with me scatters." No one would ever want to be described as someone who is against Jesus. How these words that we just read must have tormented Peter when he remembered them. And yet, not only is Peter's example a warning for us, but it is also a source of encouragement to us. Because we know that Peter recovered from that very low point in his life, and he conquered the fear of man. We know this because 50 days later, at Pentecost 33C, Peter was the model of boldness. So even if we have some weakness such as Peter once had, well, we too can overcome it with Jehovah's help. So what's the lesson for us? Well, decide now to take your stand on Jesus' side and follow him. We cannot claim to be on his side if we are following from a distance. We have to be at his side to be on his side. That means we must be courageous and identify ourselves as one of Jehovah's Witnesses wherever we are. And when we identify ourselves as such, the angels would take note of our zealous spirit and excellent conduct, and they would use us to reach honest-hearted ones. What a privilege that is. And so, dear friends, brothers, young ones, in fact, all of us, please take the counsel in this talk to heart and be determined to follow Jesus, not at a distance, but closely.
Thank you for drawing our attention to that essential admonition.